Okay, ready to start the last section before our fabulous dinner tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the ceremony, the end-all ceremony.
That is. You know, that's a ceremony we miss, just eating. Eating itself is a ceremony. You know, you often wonder, and that's another question, you know, when I think back to when I went to church as a teenager, the best doctrine was discussed after church was over and us kids met on the outside steps and just talked about stuff like, man, we don't want Jesus to come in the near future because we got lots of stuff to do. And we wondered, well, after we die, do we still eat and we still have sex? We really wondered about stuff like that, and they never talked about the really interesting stuff in church, you know. So, when you think about it, without eating brings you a chance to get together and to talk and interplay, just like we were when we just had lunch together. We got together and I looked over the group. Everybody was deeply involved with conversation with everybody else in a way that you're really not involved when there's not food. When there's food there, it just puts you in a conversational mood, doesn't it? It just makes you feel good, that food going down, and makes you more agreeable to interesting conversation. Yeah, Jason.
There's I don't even know if you can call it a science, but NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, talks about how we like people that are like us is kind of the core principle. People that talk at the same pace as us, that are doing the same thing as us, and when we're naturally in rapport with somebody, we're communicating with somebody that we're just hitting it off and there's good chemistry. Mm-hmm. We naturally are mimicking each other's behavior. We're naturally... They say that even blinking will start happening at the same rate, and breathing when there's a really high level of rapport. Naturally. Mm-hmm. And so some people that know this can consciously create rapport with somebody artificially. And so...
Real estate people do it all the time.
And eating is this act where we're all doing the same thing at the same time. And it naturally creates rapport. So I think throughout the ages, it's always been this way of breaking bread with one another. It's always this way of
The early Christian church, when they just didn't drink a little bread and water or bread and wine, but they got together and they had what was called, they called it a love fest. And sometimes it got a little out of hand. You know, they had alcoholic beverages, and they had good food, and they had a whole meal for their sacrament, and it produced a high for them that they just really loved. They got together in small groups and ate and drank, got a little tipsy on some alcohol sometimes, and matter of fact, some people call it a love fest. Sometimes, in some cases, it wound up into being an orgy even in the early Christian church. So... when they
not like a Christian orgy.
So it's yeah, we don't see that in church anymore. So it's interesting to read about the early Christian things, and it's also interesting that the sign of the cross is actually a symbol of the crossing of the two fishes and the sign of Pisces. So it represented two things, the sign of Pisces and a secret sign by which, because the Christians were persecuted, they had to give the secret sign to identify themselves as a Christian, because only the Christians at that time knew of that sign. So if you wanted to find out if somebody in a group was a Christian, you go like that, you know, if anyone else in the group was a Christian, they would contact you later. Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
You know, she mentioned the secret handshake just before we went to break. And it's like part of a ritual or the next ritual. There's a lot of power in like indoctrinating people into the secret club, the special club of the elect or whatever.
Right.
It makes people feel part of this elite, elect group is another like powerful.
Don't the Knights of Columbus have something like that?
Yeah.
Secrets.
Yeah, you know, almost all the fraternal type organizations have some connection to some ancient secret society. Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
And the other thing, like for a ritual, let's say, like the difference between a baptism and a healing is a healing is like a temporary thing, but a baptism is like this permanent, eternal thing. So
So instead of like doing a healing, quote unquote, it's initiation, an activation, an empowerment. You know, use some other like word for it, and like with this implication that it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. Even more powerful.
I mean, there's people now hawking. Just listen to this meditation CD once, and you like your pineal gland activation or kundalini activation.
Really, I like usually takes masters like 20 years of meditating to get to that place. But if they sell it as that, then it sounds like, ooh, it's really, really powerful.
But another interesting kind of ceremonial thing is the buildings of structures themselves. All the ancient temples, not only among the Jews and the religious people, but also among the Greeks and the ancients, had these temples that were representative of the universe itself. All the ancient temples had like stars and pictures of planets, the sky. A lot of the temples were completely open, so you could go inside and see the stars, and that was symbolic. But the temples were supposed to be represent the universe itself. And as a representation of the universe, it brought in the universal energy flow, so to speak. That was the purpose of it all. Now, the early Mormon temples, you look on the outside of them, they got pictures of the famous sunstone, pictures of the moon, 3 degrees of glory, the stars on the outside. And then you look at the more modern temples in the Mormon church, they dropped all those symbols because they don't understand what they were all about. But the early Mormon temples had all kinds of symbolism in it. In the Mormon temple in Kirkland, on the day of the first day of what spring was it? The sun come through the window at a certain time and hit this altar. It was built so the turning of the longest day of the year, the sun came through and struck this altar, and it was something like right out of the ancient Aztecs or something like that. Yeah. And so that's something I never knew that they planned it that way. It wasn't in any of the Mormon books, but when I took a tour, the tour guide told us about how it was built so that on one day of the year, the longest day of the year, the first day of summer, the sun would come through a certain window and strike this altar. You know, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool that they thought of that back then. But, you know, and the Mormon temples of today, there's nothing really mystical about them at all compared to the early days. And then you go back in ancient history, all the early temples had this strong mysticism and symbolism behind everything, but the whole symbolism was that it was supposed to represent the building of the universe itself. God was the grand architect who built the universe, and so they were trying to duplicate in miniature form the building of the universe by building a temple, and they felt that the more closely they corresponded the building of the temple to the universe itself, the more it would draw the presence of God into that building. And by the law of correspondences, there was probably something to it, because the oracles of Delphi, for instance, had all kinds of revelations through these oracles in the ancient Greek temples. The early Mormon temple had a pillar of fire rest upon it. And so it's interesting that in the temple, Moses had the pillar of fire come down. And so they had, the ancients had miraculous results by drawing power through symbols. Symbols are definitely very powerful. And speaking of symbols, I've decided to give everybody one, and I've spent, since Sharon gave us a nice present here, I've spent unlimited funds securing the most finest wands that money can buy. And here they are.
Thank you.
Ah!
Impractical.
There you go, you get the first one.
And you know what? A used Q-tip even more.
Oh, from a Harry Potter.
water moving up.